Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Have you heard you can listen to your favorite news podcasts ad-free? Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or visit amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree. And catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here. Today on the big program, lots to get to, lots to talk about. Interesting couple of days on the student loan debt forgiveness front. Now, you'll remember my position from the very start has always been the federal government should buy up all the student loans and refinance them at a much, much lower rate. 0.5%, 1%, whatever the cost of administering the loans are. Not making a profit off of it, simply doing the administrative work to ensure that all the paperwork gets done, everything gets taken care of. Now, I've had people say, no, Rick, we can't possibly do that. No, it would be bad. It's so big, the federal government couldn't possibly do that. Yeah, I think we could. I think we can walk, chew bubblegum at the same time. I've got faith. Because here's the thing. I don't think that they could do any worse than corporate America has done. I don't. Especially when you're talking about screwing over a generation as we have done. Now, this has been an incredible couple of days for me because I've been inundated with right-wing propaganda from all of the think tanks and all of the AstroTurf groups who now this is their central issue. And then, of course, you know, a bunch of people emailing me who don't really have any skin in the game, so to speak, but angry that nothing in it for them. This is the interesting dynamic. And the reason that I said from the beginning, you can't do debt forgiveness. You can't just wipe it away. There has to be an act of contrition. There has to be some kind of penalty, suffering. There has to be something there for the borrower. And they're going to have to pay back what they borrowed. And I still think that they're getting screwed because our system is set up to really stick it to a couple of generations of kids. But truth be told, voluntarily took out the loans, knew what you were taking out, knew what you were getting into. Gonna help, not do, helping hand, not do for. Now, for me, what was interesting is the right wing, and I'll tell you, they are Wow. They are good at the grievance game. Oh my goodness. Every grievance imaginable to divide us up and slice us and dice us and pit us against each other. Oh my goodness. Now solving a problem, whole nother ball of wax. They can point. Oh boy, can they point. They can point out problems. Oh yes, they're very good at that. In fact, they point out so many problems, again, no solutions, that they can find multiple problems in a single problem. It's kind of like, you know, it's like their superpower. You know, it's kind of like, you know, the conservative Superman. We can make up multiple problems out of one and make everything worse for everyone while profiting in some bizarre way off of it. And the student debt thing is a big thing, because you know where the money's coming from to fund these AstroTurf groups. You know where the money's coming from for the focus group testing and the think tank approval. You know it's coming from the people who are holding all of these loans, who see it as their cash cow. It's the Education Incorporated people who go, hey, we've got our nose, you know, ears deep in the trough. This is our grandkids' college funds. You can't screw with our money. You know, we worked hard to be able to screw over a couple of generations worth of kids. Now, I had a couple of conversations with people who regurgitated to me, and this is why I know the right wing is so good at coming up with the message, focus group testing, think tank approved, and then disseminating it through the masses, through their power of talk radio, cable news, the internet, all of this stuff. Because I saw it first, you know, in my email chains from all these groups saying, hey, we've got guests who can talk about this stuff. And then I heard it on right-wing shows and, you know, percolating in the crazy, you know, corners of the excesses of the outrage machine on the right. And then I actually had people saying, hey, you know, I know somebody who's got medical debt. Why aren't you going to forgive that? And I'm going, we should. Which kind of took them back, going, what? Yeah, you shouldn't have medical debt in this country. The richest country in the history of civilization. You got people who got cancer and you're going to put them into a lifetime of debt. They lived long enough to pay back the debt. Are you kidding? And then you get them to come around and go, yeah, well, we shouldn't have medical. Why do we have medical debt? Well, because we've handed off the commons to the corporate interests, to the moneyed interests, to our corporate captains of industry, you know, to our capitalists. Then I got the other person. Well, you know, I didn't go to college because I didn't want to take on the debt, couldn't afford it, couldn't get the loan. You know, the slew of excuses. And I go, yeah, that sucks. Do you want to go to college? Well, no. Did you want to go to college? Well, no. Well, then why are you complaining? But did bring up an interesting point, because I do know people who did want to go. I was one of them who wanted to be able to go to school right out of high school and couldn't afford it. And didn't want to take on even the little bit of debt that I would have taken on at the time. And I understand that. I do. I get it. But you know, sometimes it's going to be hard to swallow. Sometimes it doesn't always have to be about us. It doesn't have to be about us, the radical individual. It can be about the greater good. It can help us by not helping us individually directly. You know? Because we might want an educated populace. We might want more doctors. We might want more educators. We may want more smart people doing smart things. We might, because it may help us down the road, especially in the medical front. Might help us keep us alive a couple of more days. Might keep us healthier a couple more days. Might, do a bunch of things to make our lives better, to improve things. That's kind of why you invest in education, right? Now, we've been sold education as it's a commodity. The only way you're going to get to the middle class, kid, take on debt. Get that piece of paper so your parents can put it on the wall and look at it proudly. Tell an employer I went through 4 or 6 years of extra guff to work for you. Not using any of the skills that I learned in college, by the way. But at least I did this. I leaped these hurdles for you. this is the weird world that we're in. And we can go down all of the different, you know, I had a person who said, I joined the military. This is one that, the right-wing vet groups were throwing out over the weekend. I joined the military so I could get the college money. And I go, you shouldn't have had to. If you wanted to join the military because you want to join the military, you love joining the military, that's a family tradition thing, that's great. But as a way to get out of poverty, that's not policy we should be promoting. And again, it comes back to me for this very true reality. We are living the Hunger Games. And the right wing understands this better than anyone. They understand our fault lines. They understand our divisions. They understand what pits us against each other. Yeah, they do it on race, and they do it on gender, and they do it on sexual orientation or non-orientation or whatever. They do it on all those lines. Education now part of that as well. Well, you got those smart people. And of course, the poorly educated that Trump loves so much. And that is the dividing line right now. Look at what the Republican Party is pushing right now. Attacking teachers and attacking public education. And now attacking the ability of the educated to participate in an economy. Because we told them the only way you're going to get to be educated, especially if you don't have Jeff Bezos or Warren Buffett or Bill Gates as parents, is to take on these massive debt loads. And I think of this young relative that I have who's $100,000 in debt to get a job that's probably going to pay like 25, 26 bucks an hour. She's never going to pay that off with that. And those loans are, she was telling me, 10, 11% interest. That's unconscionable. But this is what they've done to us. And they've done it in really incredible ways. Because I go back to the 80s, and this comes out of the Reagan era. This whole, you're an individual, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, Horatio Alger stuff, invest in yourself, skin in the game. The one who dies with the most toys wins. That greed is good mentality. Hooray for me, the heck with you. That stuff is what created the world that we're in. And it's how they've been able to pit us against each other and rob us blind, by the way. Because they destroyed an education system that was working. You go back to the 50s, 60s, and into the 70s, really, where you had an education system that you could work a full-time job. You could get that job, and you could go to college and have no debt. I talked to my friend, former Ohio Congressman Bob Ney. He said, look, tuition at Ohio State, the Ohio State University, $750. I made more than that working at the glass factory. Was able to put myself through school, didn't need loans, didn't need anything. But what'd they do? Oh, no, they start jacking up the price. And why? Because they cut the funding. It's not because of those greedy teachers. It's not because of all the things that they throw at. No, it's because state and local government and the federal government walked away. Why? Because we got to give tax cuts to rich people. We don't have any more money because we gave it all away, man. They did the same thing to us with our pension systems. They played on our greed. We used to have a defined benefit pension system. We did. You worked 40 years, you retired with what you knew every month for the rest of your life. This was coming in. We didn't have to worry about recession. You didn't worry about, hey, is the stock market up or down? You didn't have to worry about idiots like Jim Jordan, tweeting out, well, you miss Trump now, all you people with 401ks? No, I miss my defined benefit pension system. That's what I miss. I don't miss that orange idiot or Jim Jordan, for that matter. I miss a system that helped create the most prosperous working class in history. I miss that. But they stole all that from us. And how'd they do it? Well, they pitted us against each other. You're smarter than that guy. You're going to do better than that guy. You are going to be a millionaire. You work at this job. I had a guy tell me this years ago. You work at this job 30 years, you're going to retire a millionaire. And I looked at him then as a young man going, the only way that they're going to let a dumb truck driver have $1 million is if I need a wheelbarrow to buy a loaf of bread. And thanks to corporate America and the gouging that they're doing to us on the inflation front, I may actually need that wheelbarrow full of cash to buy the loaf of bread and still not have $1 million in my 401k. because, well, they crash the economy every couple of years to steal that from us too. And are we surprised by it? And the answer is no. And look, everything that we do policy-wise doesn't have to benefit us directly every single time. It can benefit us as a society and make us all better. You know, the reality is nothing in this country is going to change for working people. Nothing is going to change until we stand shoulder to shoulder in solidarity with people we don't like, till we stand hand in hand with people we don't agree with and move on policy that we need, that we demand, that we earn. This is the only way we're moving forward, because they know they can divide us on this issue or that issue or culture this or war that, or they know they got us, man, while they are picking our pockets and robbing us blind and stealing from our children. Because they know our hatred and our bigotry and our blind faith in insanity, that's going to keep us from going, hey, we are getting ripped off. Hey, this inflation, it isn't Joe Biden's doing. He doesn't have a magic button. It's corporate America screwing us. And they're telling us, if you listen, they're literally telling us, yeah, we're screwing you. We're robbing you blind. What are you going to do about it? Because they know we're easily divided. We're easily pitted against each other. At some point, maybe we wake up. But maybe not. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. If you have an idea on what we do on the student loan, the student debt crisis, I would love to hear it. I still think my idea is the right one. Buy it all up. Charge low interest rate. Pay off what you owe without penalty. And get through this and fix the system so future generations don't get screwed. Just my thought. Love to hear yours. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. If you're a fan of the show, you've heard our Labor History in Two segments, and you can hear them on the radio pretty much anywhere in the U.S. Labor history has never been more important than it is right now. So here's what we'd like you to do. Tell a teacher. Tell a teacher that labor history is important and that they can get digestible two-minute lessons that are absolutely free. Free to download, free to use, free to share. Tell a teacher to go to thericksmithshow.com/history and help us put labor back where it belongs, in the classroom. You know, generations of American workers fought, bled, and died to build the American way of life. It's our job to keep their stories alive. Go tell a teacher that we're here to help them do just that. Find us at thericksmithshow.com/history today.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So the Federal Reserve said today that the Russian war in Ukraine and the corporate gouging inflation, now the largest global threats happening right now. Biggest threats we got globally going on, surpassing the coronavirus pandemic. And you go, yeah, you crazy Putin losing his mind. And the stories we're hearing, not good coming out of there. Our inability to stop what's going on. And the corporate gouging of inflation, yeah, it's harming our ability to move forward. It is. Now, the weird thing is our economy is doing well. Last month's job numbers, incredible. In fact, you know, since Joe Biden took office, we've had, you know, well over 500,000 manufacturing jobs come back. The largest manufacturing job increase over 15 months since 1985. This a good thing. Now, on Tuesday, the president is going to give an address to talk about inflation, talk about how his plans to lower costs and do things that need to be done compared to what, you know, what Republican plans are. And if you look at, and we've talked about this already, if you look at Rick Scott's plan is to raise taxes on, you know, 75 million low low-income Americans. Got to get those people, those working stiffs, those poor people to pay. And, you know, if you read his 11-point plan, the reality is he wants to sunset all programs. You know, and that means Medicare. That means Medicaid. That means everything. Even though he is backpedaling quickly. I mean, in fact, he's not backpedaling. He turned and he's sprinting away from his own 11-point plan, which, you know, he really thought everyone would focus on the hyper-God part, because that's what he was hoping we would get, the culture war, the anti-gay stuff, all of that. Oh, no. Focus on the economy. Focus. It's the economy, stupid. When you're talking about, you know, stealing, you know, Social Security from granny, you know, kicking her off of Medicare, people are going to pay attention. Probably not a bad idea to pay attention when they tell you what they're going to do, especially now looking at what's going on in the Supreme Court. Remember, these people are telling us what they're going to do. Wednesday, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, they're going to release April's CPI, the Consumer Price Index number, and everyone's looking to that to see which way inflation's going. Is it going to continue to go higher? Is it going to stabilize? Is it going to be a little bit lower? I'm expecting it to probably stay right about the same, maybe even bump a bit, because corporate America's feeling their oats. I was reading a story today that the name brand products you buy at the supermarket, that evidently they are now raising their prices just a little bit less so that they can capture back the market share of the store brands. Because evidently the store brands have just skyrocketed in gouging because, hey, opportunity. So, you know, like your name brand cheese and macaroni or whatever, you know, they're only going up a percent or two less than the store brand, so that they're a little cheaper. So that maybe you'll come back to the store brand, so that, you know, on the other side of this, you'll be brand loyal. This is the kind of gamesmanship that's going on. Now, the president says, look, he's going to talk about how we're going to deal with it. You're going to deal with getting, you know, drug prices under control, trying to get gas prices under control, trying to do some things that have to be done with actual policy. Not, let's just leave it to the invisible hand. Now, today, he talked about, how do I put this? I live in a rural community. You know, back in the 40s, you had Truman and the rural electrification. You know, all that went on that actually put, you know, wires, electricity into homes and plumbing into homes in rural communities. Internet is now coming. And as the president said today, we are connecting the world to the internet. And, you know, they launched a program today. It's going to allow millions of American families to buy high speed quality internet at a really reduced rate or for free, depending on your income. Now, again, I can hear the divisive monsters going, free, Obama phones again. Look, you cannot possibly in this country exist without high-speed internet. You can't do dial-up anymore, sorry. Beep, boop, 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 doesn't work anymore. Because here's the thing. Friends in my rural communities, we're going to connect the rural communities to all of the books that crazy people want to ban and burn. That's the first thing I want to get out there. So be afraid. Your kids may actually read something. But the reality is this, we have to do. If we're going to be competitive in the 21st century with countries like China, with countries like, you know, South Korea, we, or anybody, to be honest, we definitely need to come into the 21st century internet-wise. The fact that we pay so much and get so little, why? Because we don't view it as a utility. I say we claw it back. We make it a utility. We allow local communities to build up their own. And we run it just like we used to run other things. But again, we have to pay our respects to the corporate profit monster who have been gouging us for years for crummy service. Now, they say that nearly 40% of American households are going to qualify for some subsidy under this new plan. I think this is going to be helpful. This will be a good, they're calling it the Affordable Connectivity Program. You can go to their website and check it out. It is getinternet.gov. We'll get links out on social media. Getinternet.gov is the website. I went there. I don't qualify, but, and look, here's the thing. Here's the amazing part. I don't qualify. And you know what? I'm still for it. Because I still think of myself when I was a kid, growing up in the projects, going, I know we wouldn't have internet. I would probably have to walk to the local McDonald's or the, you know, well, we didn't have a library in our neighborhood, but I'd have to walk near some restaurant that might have an open Wi-Fi connection that I could sit in the parking lot and do my homework on. I know now that that kid who's growing up in the place where I lived might actually have a chance. And that's a good thing. You know, as my friend said, you know, before I went on air today, he goes, you know what? You can be, he goes, you're for something that doesn't help you or affect you because you're not a giant a-hole. And I go, you know, that's probably true. Although some would disagree. And for those who disagree, you can send me an email and let me know because those go to the top of the pile. First ones I answer, people who are not thrilled with me. Because we got to have those conversations too. But I think this is a good plan. I think it's a good idea, and it's something we should have done a while ago. And good on Joe Biden for doing it. Love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. If you're just joining us, make sure you grab the podcast or all of our podcasts. Subscribe, never miss a day or a minute. You can do that at therickssmithshow.com. Right back.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So the story goes like this. Evidently, over the weekend, people went and found where Samuel Alito lives and, you know, decided that they wanted to protest out in front of his house and let him know what they thought of his leaked memo. Evidently, this gave him the jitters, and it's been reported that they are in an undisclosed location. Got to wonder if it's the bunker Trump used or that they rushed him away into. Now, equally interesting to me, and this is one of those things I just find quite amusing. Immediately, our system in the Senate seemed to be jumping into action. We can't solve health care. We can't solve education crisis. We can't build infrastructure. We can't get, you know, things. We can't seem to do anything in the Senate. But John Cornyn, Republican from Texas, Chris Coons, Democrat from Delaware, they have already introduced a bipartisan piece of legislation called the Supreme Court Police Parity Act, because we're going to protect the Supreme Court justices. Here's an idea. How about don't overturn 50 years of decided law and take rights away from people? Maybe just a thought. Here to share some thoughts on the Roe versus Wade interesting story and maybe where is Alito? We'll play Where's Waldo now. I've asked Dr. Allison Gill to come talk with us. One of my favorite podcasters. She is the folks who bring us the Mueller She Wrote podcast. Also the fabulous Daily Beans podcast. Both you can find over at mswmedia.com and all of the other great offerings there. Allison, thanks for taking time for us.
Yeah, no problem. It's my pleasure, Rick. Thank you for having me.
So the Alito underground, thoughts?
Somebody tweeted, we, you know, everyone pray for Alito and his family. And I said, I will not. Not that I wish harm upon anyone. I do not. But after you put out that type of a decision, we were expecting this, right? We've been expecting,
of course,
this. What I was not expecting was the reasoning behind overturning Roe to be as primitive and horrible as it was. Women didn't have rights when the Constitution was written, so they shouldn't have rights now.
Seriously? Kind of... Hold on. Stop right there. You seriously didn't think they would say that? The people who brought us the original intent? I mean, these are the people who want to go back to, you know, three-fifths of a person. These are the people who outwardly say they are original intentists. They want to undo everything that has been done because that wasn't the original intent. I guess, yeah, I wasn't surprised.
They never come right out and say that we don't want, it's just white Christian men should have rights. They always couch it in some sort of other buffery language. And I thought that that's what we were going to see. However, whether it's Trump's bunker or, you know, first of all, I kind of don't understand why people are having a problem with folks protesting on a public street, peacefully assembling and redressing their grievances to the government, which are two of the five freedoms in the First Amendment, one of which Amy Coney Barrett forgot when she was asked by Ben Sasse for the five freedoms of the First Amendment. She forgot the redress and protest freedom there. You know, to peaceably assemble on a public street. Now, maybe we could ask Gretchen Whitmer or Dana Nessel how they feel about that type of thing. And I'm not going to weigh in on whether or not I think it's appropriate, because I'm still reeling from the decision itself, honestly. Right.
So tell me, you know, look, I've been going off about this because I see this as taking a future away from my daughters. Now my daughters are hopefully years away from having children or thinking about families or any of that. But, you know, as someone who's your age, who looks at this, you know, what does this mean to you?
Well, sometimes we don't have a choice. Sometimes we don't consent to sex. And with, you know, when I was in the military, that, as you know, is what happened to me. And had I been in a red state with Roe overturned, I wouldn't have been able to travel to a state that allowed abortion to seek abortion access. I would have been forced to carry my rapist's baby to term while also dealing with the PTSD that comes along with military sexual trauma. That terrifies me and re-traumatizes me. But I am in this particular fight at this particular time. I have reproductive privilege because I cannot get pregnant. So my thoughts are with every other woman in the United States right now, especially in the states that will have trigger laws that not only ban abortion, but in some cases make it homicide or a murder, or they're going to try to, you know, force you to take a pregnancy test to travel or to leave the state. The concern here is not just this particular removal of our right to bodily autonomy. That's enough in itself. That's enough in and of itself. But all the other rights that didn't exist prior to the last 100 years also being at risk based on this decision.
Now, you know, you're telling your story, I'm thinking about Gene Schmidt, the Republican legislator from Ohio, who said that your situation would have been an opportunity. I'm curious, you know, when you hear that, did you think of that as an opportunity? And how do you, I don't know how to ask that question, but how do you think that would have affected you if you would have been forced to go through full term with that?
I wouldn't be alive today. I barely made it through the PTSD, coping with the PTSD from the assault. So if I had been forced to give birth, and not just forced to give birth, but forced to give birth to my rapist's baby, I wouldn't be here today.
And this is the problem that we have with people who are making these decisions who don't understand or don't know. And look, I don't know what it's like. And as I've said before, I am not, I'm well past my childbearing years. In fact, I've never had any. But this is the one thing I definitely know is government shouldn't be the one making these policies. A bunch of old white guys making these policies should not be the way forward because we don't understand what it's like to be in your shoes. And it's horrible hearing what you went through. It's horrible. And I can't imagine my own daughters being in a position like that.
Right. Because, you know, a lot of the argument here is, well, it takes two, you know, you did the sex, you do the time. Right. And first of all, for me personally, that's not what happened, but that shouldn't be the only carve out. Your decision, your body. I mean, these arguments are 40 or 50 years old, you know, like, why do we have to have them again? Yeah. It's awful to even think about.
But the bigger part of this, Allison, is, you know, and as an old white guy, I look at this as, you know, I don't want someone to have control over my daughter's future. I want her to have the right of self-determination. And this is more than just about the abortion issue. This is about control. This is about someone controlling her destiny or their destiny in ways that they have no power over. And that's a struggle for me, while simultaneously the people who are pushing this stuff down, literally down society's throat, are doing nothing to want people to bring children into this world. We have no maternity leave. We have no health care. We have education that's not that great. And for women in poverty, forget about it. We do nothing to help them. And look, I'm somebody who grew up in poverty. I know what it's like to live in poverty with a single mother. I know how hard it is. Don't want that for people, especially if they don't want that.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And that's the hardest part is the helplessness aspect of it, which is something that I think a lot of women are familiar with kind of already. But this just takes it to a whole other level. The leak is not the story, but I'm very interested to know who put this out and why.
I have a theory. My theory is it was definitely someone on the conservative side who saw Alito's repudiation of Roe as the what they wanted, and they didn't want anyone to walk it back, so they threw it out there to make that the goalpost. And to ensure that Roberts or anyone else didn't have the ability to soft pedal this for another day. That's my view. I'm curious what yours is.
I have the same view, that there was somebody who's close to the court, the conservative court, that was upset that there were deliberations that happened after that February 10th Alito decision was written, deliberations indicating that maybe Roberts might try to get Kavanaugh or Barrett or Gorsuch to come over and vote with the liberals and him to maintain, to keep Roe and Casey in place, but maybe still have the 15-week ban, which would still throw it to the states to put bans on stuff. But that was our best case scenario, really, that we could come out with in this decision. And I think somebody was really upset about those deliberations and watering down the Alito decision. And whoever leaked this wants that Alito decision to be the decision and the actual ruling as it's written. And there is somebody who is close to the court that is close to conservatives on the court that actually has a history of leaking SCOTUS deliberations.
Yeah. And she had a direct line into Trump and, you know, very well known in conservative crazy circles. So it wouldn't surprise me a bit if she was the one who did it.
No. And Nina Totenberg even said back in 2012, when court deliberations for the Affordable Care Act were leaked to the press, Nina Totenberg said, well, it could be a justice, it could be a clerk, or it could be the spouse of a justice. That's a very specific accusation for someone like Nina Totenberg to be making. And that, of course, as you can probably have guessed by now, it was Ginni Thomas who did that. And she was angry at what the court was deciding, the deliberations that were happening to uphold the Affordable Care Act in 2012. And so she leaked it. And that information to the press. And now we've got reports of somebody very close, conservative person, very close to the court, who's now talked to the Wall Street Journal and the Post, saying that spilling the beans that Roberts was thinking of defecting from Alito's decision. There's been deliberations. The February 10th Alito decision is obsolete now. And there's been talks of softening it a little bit. You know, to go back to the beginning of our conversation of what I originally expected there to be coming out of this court. And also, it doesn't make any sense for an angry liberal person, an angry liberal clerk to leak this, because they would have leaked it back in February. And I also don't think it's a distraction from the 1-6 hearings, because the decision was going to come out in June no matter what. And that's when the hearings are. So I don't think it's that. It really only helps the conservatives in the sense that, just like you said, Rick, whoever leaked this wants to lock in this particular decision, make it very hard to back away from. And because if anyone backs away from this, they're going to become a target of the right.
And maybe they're going to need the security parody, the Supreme Court Police Parody Act, and not from angry women, but from crazy right-wing militia types on the extreme right. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show here with Dr. Allison Gill, podcaster extraordinaire. Make sure you check out her podcast, Mueller, She Wrote, and the Daily Beans pod. You can see those at mswmedia.com. We'll get links out on social media on how you can do that. I kind of want to finish this up by looking at, sadly, where this could take us, because I don't know that they're going to be able to soft pedal this much. And even if they do, it's still going to mean my daughter's their right to self-determination is going to be harmed. And they're going to probably sadly end up having to deal with a lot of things that my mother's generation and prior had to deal with. And, you know, I don't know that my daughter's generation really understand what their grandmothers went through. The idea that they couldn't get their own bank account, they couldn't get their own credit card, they couldn't drive, they couldn't do anything without a man's consent. And a lot of it came out of this, out of this shotgun wedding kind of stuff. Oop, got pregnant, now you got to get married kind of stuff. Do you foresee that being reality, or is that hyperbolic?
No, I don't think it's hyperbolic at all, because we've been pushing this rock up the hill since the 70s, right? And even earlier than that. And to have it all of a sudden back down at the bottom of the hill, it would be like if a 13-year-old woke up tomorrow and there was no internet, but now it's got to do, it's like that shocking, but now it's got to do with having control over your own life. It's, I don't think you're being hyperbolic at all.
Because, you know, I had a conversation with a young woman the other day, and she's like, well, we'll figure out a workaround. You know, we can get the plan B. We can do all these other things, because there's a sense of empowerment that women today have that I don't think they understand what this ruling could mean. Is that a good thing or is that a bad thing?
That they don't understand it until they live it?
Yeah, this sense of empowerment that they think that they're going to be able to work around it. That I'll just go to another state, or we'll figure it out kind of mentality, as where I'm going, no, this is horrible. This is bad. There aren't workarounds. There isn't going to be an underground railroad with technology. We find out now there are companies that can track your movements and find out who spent how long at Planned Parenthood and all of this stuff. This is not good.
Well, yeah, and we saw that with voting rights, didn't we? It was... We have to pass voting rights, but let's also prepare in case we can't, or we don't, or Manchin, which is generally usually the road problem. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with doing everything you can to keep Roe in place and fighting this and going out in the streets, because we do actually have now a non-zero chance to change a Supreme Court decision. We've never had this before. It's a very, very slim chance. And I think the leak was designed to keep the decision in place, but we now know a decision before it's official and can make noise. I think we could also vote in the next election and get enough people in the Senate that are willing to carve out the filibuster or kill it completely so that we can codify Roe. But this was the same thing with voting rights. I think we can do both. I think we can fight our butts off, but also prepare. We don't want to be unprepared when that rock is all of a sudden at the bottom of the hill again.
Yeah. Last question I've got for you. You know, as a man, like I said, this isn't my issue. I'm never going to have an abortion. Not my thing. Personally, I would never have one. But, you know, I've never been in anyone's position that I can say that definitively. How do we help without making things worse?
Exactly what you're doing. Preparing to thank you very much for the support and being an ally, and to fight with us, honestly, I think there's no ambiguity in what side you should be on, right? Everyone's like, oh, there's gray areas. No, there's not. It's not about when you think someone should have an abortion, or if you think abortion is right. It's whether or not you think somebody should have the decision to decide their own, the power to decide their own future, or whether the government should decide it for them. And so it's a pretty clear, stark line. So as long as you're on the other side of the line fighting with us, help vote, find other people to vote, That's get out the vote is the number one thing I think you can do. And then and hit the streets with us when the protests come up, you know, be there for us.
Yeah, let's hope those start soon. Allison, I appreciate the time. Good stuff as always. Hope folks will check out the podcasts. Great stuff you do there. The Mueller She Wrote and the Daily Beans pods. You can find those at mswmedia.com. Allison Gill, thanks so much.
Thank you for everything you do, Rick.
Great stuff. Well, let's take a quick break. I want to come back with your thoughts. 1-866-416-RICK. 1-866-416-7425. This is the Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2.
On this day in labor history, the year was 1972. That was the day that employees at the Ferro Manufacturing Company went out on strike. The company was one of the top producers of men's and boys' pants in the country, and the second largest employer in El Paso, Texas. The majority of workers were Chicano. More than 80% were women. These workers worked long hours for low wages and were required to meet a high quota demand. In the late 1960s, some of the male employees began to discuss their working conditions and what they could do to change things. One employee remembered the early days of organizing sometimes happened after softball games between the teams of workers from the different departments in the plant. We'd sit around after the game and talk about these things and the union. Men working in the cutting room voted to affiliate with the Amalgamated Clothing Workers of America. Workers from the San Antonio plant came to El Paso to support the union effort. These workers were fired. In response, 500 El Paso workers walked off the job. They demanded the right to have a union. Soon, more than 3,000 Ferro employees went out on strike. The strike cause won the support of the Roman Catholic bishop in El Paso, who supported a boycott against Ferro pants. The AFL-CIO called for a boycott. The campaign against Ferro soon spread across the country. Even though the company brought in scab replacement labor, the effort to get a union continued. The fight wore on until March of 1974, when the National Labor Relations Board found in favor of the employees who had been fired. Unionization had come to Ferro. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at laborhistoryin2.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it's one of those things that you hear stories like Allison's, and it's heartbreaking. And I can't even begin to imagine. Let's go to the phone lines. Got Alice on line one. Alice, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm working on it. What's on your mind?
I know the feeling. What I wanted to say was a couple of things. Number one, you have to just shake your head. You know, Alito, he's going back to the 1600s using this man who absolutely hated everyone. He burnt witches. He assumed, his idea was, you know, women basically were evil and they were to be controlled at all times. Okay. And so you're bringing that in into the 21st century. And the second thing, they all seem to forget that the founding fathers did not want a religion to be involved in people's lives, meaning by the government or laws. And because they knew what had gone on. You had the Protestants and you had the Catholics that were fighting at the time that, you know, we founded our nation. And it depending on which country you were in, if you were a Catholic and in a Protestant nation, you got burnt. And if you were a Protestant in a Catholic nation, you got burnt. And everybody hated the Jews. The pagans were all underground, and they didn't like the Muslims. This original intent, they revise everything.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to go use history, let's be accurate, for God's sakes. let's not make up stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And second of all, this, the second thing is, they're telling me, well, this is what God says. It's the Christianity. Well, Christianity is based on the Jewish religion. It's an offshoot. And in the Jewish religion, even in the Bible, it specifically states in Leviticus, if you look, that you're not a person until you take your first breath and you live for 30 days. But hey, you know what? I guess you just got to make it up as you go along.
Yeah. What do you think of Amy Coney Barrett? What do you think of Amy Coney Barrett's phrase, domestic supply of infants?
If that reminds me of, well, you know, that's what the Nazis did. The Nazis, and I know this, the Nazis had a breeding program where they had their little Aryan race people. They would come in for a weekend or two, have a little fling. She would get pregnant. She would get paid, have a baby, and they would give it up for adoption to someone. And in the meantime, the Nazis would go in into the Slavic countries, and they would steal children and adopt them out. They did it in Poland, Hungary, all of them. If the kids had blonde hair and blue eyes, is this not human trafficking, or am I confused?
Well, they do talk about groomers an awful lot, do they not?
Oh, they absolutely do.
There you go.
And, you know, everything they accuse everybody else of, they're doing it. But you have a good evening, Rick.
Good stuff. Thank you, Alice. That phrase, domestic supply of infants, stuck in my head all day today. And I couldn't help but marry it up to the guy I know who wears this Christian warrior shirt all the time. They just seem, I don't know, just seem to fit together in a way that is really frightening. And that's why, again, I was against having that Amy Coney Barrett on the court. And again, another reason why you look at the Trump era, going to be remembered as a really, really bad time in our country's history for a whole bunch of reasons, the court being one of them. Love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. If you're just joining us, make sure you grab the podcast. Never miss an episode. Subscribe and share, comment, do all that stuff. Also email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. Quick break, right back after this.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.